With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That song was playing somewhere the other day. I think in Starbucks.
That's a throwback.
I keep on falling in and out. That album was so good.
It's from so long ago.
Alicia Keys' best song is Try Sleeping with a Broken Heart. You can just.
I don't know. I'm not really a Keys head.
I'm a bit of a Keys. A Keys head.
What are her fans? What does she call her fans? Keymasters?
Ooh. Locksmiths. Hey, locksmiths. That would be like a little. That'd be like a little a reach, but it would be really cute.
I'd love it.
Hey, locksmiths.
Hey, locksmiths. What's the combination? We were just talking about Banana Republic.
Yes, we're coming to you one day after the failed coup of President Trump on the American government that happened yesterday.
Braveheart coup. The Burners are going to have to rethink their fashion choices, I think, because they were very much co-opted.
That fucking guy, that full of QAnon. Plus, I believe the most shocking thing, one of the most shocking things I saw was that Ariel Pink was there with John Mouse.
Just like as an observer?
Either participating or like just there to be like ironic hipsters.
Hmm.
So check on your indie faves from the early 2010s.
Like, everyone. Were they in the area? Wouldn't want to get COVID, so I wouldn't, like, want to be near.
It was most definitely a super spreader, right?
Definitely a super spreader event. And really, like, the fashion choices. I was just, like, interested in people's fit pics. Like, you had the lady who was crying because she got maced in the face rocking a piano scarf, which I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
The woman who looked like Andrea Riseborough.
Kind of, yeah. Like, crying, like saying, like, it's a revolution. That's why I'm here.
Crying because she got maced. What do you think we're doing? We're storming the Capitol. It's a revolution.
Revolution. Tony, uh-uh. No. No. Sit.
Tony didn't like that.
Tony hates the revolution.
It was just, I mean, a horrible day in our country.
Ever since the election, I've heard the term, like, we're not a banana republic. This isn't a banana republic. You're acting like it's a banana republic. And I just can only think of Banana Republic, the store, and how I'm haunted by Banana Republic specifically because it's been at the Grove for ever since I've been around. And
it's at the Grove?
Yeah, there's a huge banana at the Grove. and I never see anyone in there. I'm so curious as to how it stays in business because I know it's like related to the Gap.
Is it a front?
What?
Is it like a front?
I don't know what it is, but it's weird. And now that people are saying the words Banana Republic over and over, I'm like, what's the link here? Like,
I can smell.
I'm about to go Q just on like Banana Republic. Like, I'm literally in a place of how.
I'm having like a visceral scent flashback to how Banana Republic smell at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I feel like there was always like some kind of aloof gay man as one of the retail associates there.
It was definitely like the chicest store in the my local mall.
Yeah. What if kind of a fucked up name though.
But like, yeah, when I was like, what is a Banana Republic actually? Because that's the only association I have is the store. And I Googled it and learned, but then promptly forgot and just only now remember the store. And like, someone let me know who shops there. I guess maybe young professionals shop there.
I revealed to you that I have a few things from Banana Republic in my wardrobe.
Like recent purchases?
No.
Or like things your mom got for you and sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a mom store for sure.
Moms who were like, I want my son to be stylish but conservative.
Mm-hmm. And like the last time I shopped there was like 2004 when I bought like my boyfriend at the time some turtlenecks for Christmas.
Total early 2000s, late 90s kind of place. Like, I feel like a sensible gay man shops at Banana Republic.
Definitely. And it's like a safe space in small cities or like not so like fashion forward cities for like a gay man to work and feel like fashionable.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm kind of in New York.
But like with the Gap has been in constant trouble, like bankrupt, like up and down. The Gap's always having drama. Old Navy seems to just be still killing the game.
Old Navy,
but Banana Republic lies in this weird like neither world. Yeah, where I'm like, who goes there?
I mean, me. No.
Yeah.
My mom is a fan. My mom always finds like a good deal at some stores like that. Like my mom loves a Zara.
Mm-hmm. Love a Zara.
As my mom famously said, with Zara, you never know. So I say that to you now about Banana Republic as well.
It must be a you never know. But I feel like it's more expensive than a Zara would be. And like, if I was given the choice, I would go Zara over Banana.
Same. It's like expensive shit.
Yeah. It's like,
what's that freckle
faux card? Expensive. Sometimes things that are expensive are worse.
Banana Republic.
Freckle.
You know who was at the insurrection just came out?
Who?
Britney Spears' first husband, Jason Alexander, who she was married to for like less than 72 hours. He was there.
Classic. Was that like as a participant or
yes,
a bystander?
He's fully in QAnon and he's like, he's like this jacked QAnon guy and he was fucking at the coup.
Whoa.
The things I was most shocked by at the end of the night was when E! News posted celebrity reactions of the coup. Can I just tell you a few of them before we get into
Yeah, please tell
Queens?
Me what the celebs were saying. The most importantly, let's talk about what the celebs were saying about the coup.
As protesters storm the United States Capitol, celebrities are sharing their thoughts on the unsettling situation. Tagged Washington, D.C. So there's photos of, you know, our nation's capital being besieged and congressmen like and women cowering under desks for fear of being killed. And these are the slides. As a United States citizen and the daughter of two veterans and the sister of another, I am ashamed of what is happening in Washington. Pink.
Oh.
And they'll bold certain things. Mm-hmm. I am embarrassed, ashamed, and so sad and bold with what's happening. Demi Lovato.
Okay.
I'm speechless. Chris Evans. Unimaginable.
More.
Disgraceful. Shocking. In bold. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Queen.
This is not America. America's in bold. Chloe Grace Moretz. What in God's name, how in God's name, in bold, Jane Lynch.
More.
That's it.
Let's talk about this episode, though, because actually I feel like the tide shifted and I was into this vibe of SLC.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy
Unique Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. No, this episode was like a turning point, I think, and I am very happy with how it ended, and I think it's what we needed.
We needed someone to be plied with alcohol to the point that they made horrible decisions and conducted themselves foolishly, and Whitney took the fall, and God bless her for it. Paymon, bless her for it. Latter-day Saints, bless her for it. Joseph Smith, bless her for it.
Brigham Young,
bless her. Bless this mess.
She was the patsy, and she leapt into the flames for all of us, and I am grateful to her for that. I'm grateful to that golf/banquet hall venue for supplying Whitney with the alcohol to do this, and I'm grateful for Heather for kind of enabling her, and I'm grateful for all.
I'm grateful to Bauman for selling Jen the exact Beyonce jacket.
That was the outfit.
It was. There were lots of good things happening. I do want to say, friend of the pod, Connor Goldsmith, texted us and let us know that this show was filmed. So Roll Silk was filmed in 2018, and then Bravo, I guess, sat on it or then decided to recut the whole thing, and now it's released. So I do feel cheated and tricked, like, timing wise. We're literally watching a vintage. We're watching, like, vintage behavior.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, this season goes from Christmas 2018 into 2019. I thought COVID was going to hit, and we were going to see how they deal with COVID, and, like, you know, this, we're only going to get a few months of normalcy with the things they could do. But no, this is a full year before last year.
This is like archival footage.
This is like black and white, grainy.
Like, we need Peter Jackson to come in and restore the footage.
I feel a little cheated.
When we were soldiers.
Yeah.
When we were Latter-day Saints.
I feel a little lied to.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like we're pretending.
Yeah.
Feels like the moon landing was... like, now it's like confirmed that, like, the moon landing was faked or something. Like, I feel like something was just... the rug was just pulled out from under me.
I like to feel like my Bravo shows are current, and I like to be tricked into thinking they're also, like, very real, and all the drama is real. And this, like, pulling the curtain back on the timing, I'm like, that ain't right. Don't do me like that. I mean, everything is fake on reality TV. I guess, like, we all know that. Mm-hmm. But I choose to believe.
I'm a sheep.
Yeah, I choose to believe. My QAnon is reality television. And I believe everything it tells me.
The veil has been lifted, and now I'm seeing the show. I still can appreciate it, and I'm glad to see where it's going, but I feel blown away by that revelation.
Yeah.
But that means that hopefully they filmed another season, and we're about to get another one really soon.
Yeah, that would be great.
Like, if we get, like, a back-to-back, if they gift us with that, I would love.
Mm-hmm. That would be major. That would make up for some of the lies. And if we keep ramping up, if we just keep Whitney shit-faced or plastered for the rest of the show, then I think we'll be good, too.
I need to 5150 Stewart once and for all, Jen's assistant.
Yeah. What did he do?
For calling himself Stew Chains.
Oh, yeah.
We need to flag that and not be doing that in 2019. So this episode was pretty wild. It was full. It really, I think the pace was great. It kind of never... A continued complaint of mine, though, not enough Mary. But Mary remains, she's kind of the center of all the drama still.
Yeah, there was more Mary in this episode. I appreciated that. It kind of, okay, so it opens with Meredith hiking with her two kids, Brooks and Chloe. Is her other kid named Chloe?
Yeah, her youngest is Chloe. She's 18. You just hear her go, is next weekend Valentine's Day?
I love that their hikes just seem like they go to fields and like walk aimlessly.
Yeah, their hikes are a strange dynamic. Brooks is just like, Meredith's like, yeah, your dad and I are really working on our stuff, and like it took, you know, we've come to some realizations in therapy together. And then Brooks was like, if it took therapy to get you guys to that point, like, I feel bad for you. I was like, shut the fuck up. You should be in therapy.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what's your excuse?
Yeah, what's your excuse?
For being just the worst. I 5150 Brooks. I volunteer Brooks as 5150 material.
That's a good...
And if this show is 20, like, I feel like he got some sort of work done in between, like, filming his talking head moments from, like, the previous episodes and his ones from this episode.
Totally.
And if now we're getting, like, current 2020 content or 2021 content filming, his face can only get more and more, like, garish Bella Hadid from here. So I look forward to seeing that. Because I feel just spiritually that's like what's going to happen.
Brooks is going to end up looking like the Weeknd's like fake plastic surgery.
Yeah. Side note, do you think the Weeknd is like trying to troll Bella with that?
I don't know. It's...
What's his end game with it? I'm intrigued, but I'm also like, why?
I'm also just like... I'm just like, celebrities are in crisis.
It's a long, drawn out... performance art that I'm either like, you're really genius for this, or you're just like kind of a stunt queen and dumb. But like,
I'm just kind of like, I don't really care.
I don't care enough to Google it, but I do care enough to ask readers to Google it and like tell me, because I also don't follow the Weeknd that much.
I don't either.
And like, I work out to some of his songs, but I really don't get it. So if someone could clue me in and tell me if it's cool or bad, I would appreciate that.
I like that
you
one song.
You take something off my plate.
I like the one song. All that money, that one.
Yeah, like old Weeknd.
Yeah, when he was still kind of mysterious. I like that.
Yeah, when he was making like sexy, weird music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I would love to know like what's up with him. Joe, the riding instructor, 10-10 would bang.
Oh, yeah. So Whitney and Heather are riding horses. I loved seeing them on horseback.
Me too. Horses bring me to such a place of yes.
Their riding instructor was hot.
Yeah. I'm like Heather, you should date this guy.
There's all these nice men that Heather's has in her life, like Travis.
Percolating around.
Yeah. He was like rugged. And at one point you hear Whitney just go, to a horse, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
We see like a little smattering of all the women in their family. Lisa is with her son, who has a baby face but sounds like has a deeper voice than I do. And he's like, she's like, do you want me to make you some food? And he says, I'm not really craving a microwaved hot dog right now.
And she goes, I like Lisa. Like, Lisa becomes more and more my queen with every episode. She's full of curveballs.
Her plot line was bizarre today. I'm sorry. The whole aquarium, I was like, this is weird.
No, I need more of it. Like, put Lisa... It's like she's never been to an aquarium before and has never hung out with her own family before and is experiencing everything for the first time through Lisa lenses.
She's like, oh, it's so cool. It's amazing. The minute she walks in.
She's, wow. Oh, my God. Turtles. I love those. You love those. What's that? A baby shark.
Who doesn't love
it? It looks
turtles.
Like a shark face. What is it?
And then we cut to Jen. She's in bed. She sounds sick. I think whatever her son had, she has now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
She's planning a surprise party with Crystal, her second assistant, for Sharif. She's like, I really need to make this good. Like, it has to be a really big deal. I want to combine his two favorite things, golf and hip-hop. So that she's going to have a golf and hip-hop party, which is cute.
That's cute. She's delegating from bed, and she says that she's not inviting Mary. Whitney yeah. FaceTimes her to do a little, like...
post-game.
To do some plot... The producers were like, Whitney, now you need to FaceTime Jen and talk about her party and who she's inviting and who she's not. And Whitney's like, okay, cool. Whitney's literally, I think, doing everything the producers are telling her to do. Like, she's just their key to anything.
She's their plant and she's their go-to girl. And she's on a show and she's like, I've never done a TV show. I'm going to trust these people. And if they tell me to go cause trouble, I'm going to do it.
I kind of love it because she's not very good at it. Like, she's not sly. She doesn't really have, like, any game. So,
her
like, she's
off.
Like, who are you going to invite to your party? And then Jen talks and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm not inviting Mary. Because I could just invite, like, models and have them stand around and do nothing and look hot. And Whitney goes, ha, okay, cool.
I wrote, no, Mary. I was like, you're lost. But then it ended because I was like, we need friction. But Whitney ended up saving it. Then we cut to Casa de Cosby, and Mary and Sherlinda are, Mary's facilitating some cleaning, and she's telling Sherlinda to get under certain areas, and Sherlinda calls her ma'am, which I was like, that's your fam. I was just like, this cult thing goes deeper than we know.
Their relationship is wild. Mary just bosses Sharlinda right around.
I think it has to do with the cult, the church.
She's just the boss and underling?
Yeah. I think there's some like kind of like she's my...
superior.
Yeah, because she's like their god, kind of.
We get a little more insight into the depth of Mary's empire. And she FaceTimes with Robert Sr., who's like off in Florida or somewhere checking the grass, which I think is like code word for something, but I don't know what. Would love any insight on that. But Mary's like, when my grandma died, she left me everything. And I was like, okay, yeah, she left you her church and her man. Like, what else could there possibly be? And what else is that there's a house in Vegas, the house in Salt Lake, a house in Indiana, an apartment in NYC, and a house in Orlando.
And not just an apartment, like a penthouse apartment in New York City. With like
Terrace. Like a big, expensive apartment.
And all of the homes are like mansions.
Yeah, and she doesn't rent them, she says.
I think it's where all their churches are.
They have multiple... I thought that was just that. Okay, so...
I feel like they must have some kind of church presence in Indiana, which is a huge evangelist stronghold. I feel like they must have some church presence in all these places, and that's why they have homes there.
Smart. And also, it's kind of Scientology with just like real, like putting a lot of money into real estate.
But they don't like rent it. Like, she goes, and we don't rent. She goes, I don't want people living in my homes.
I know, chair. When I'm not in them, they're empty.
But it was like, it did feel, I think it's, they must have a presence in all those places. I really believe that.
Yeah, that would make sense because I was like, how much money are you really netting from just one church in Salt Lake City? Like, you're not, like, to have the level of fashion that I do believe Mary just goes out and buys whatever the fuck she wants. Like, and she's buying like $3,000 pants. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta have a lot of churches.
No, it's wild. And she's, they must be worth like tens of millions of dollars.
I love that for them. More.
But she
How do you like it? I need more Mary.
But when her husband, when they first call, he goes, he's like, wow, you look great. And Mary goes, she goes, oh, no, don't say that. And you, at first you think it's like false, her being like coy and bashful, but she's actually like, please don't say that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa.
Maybe they have like a totally asexual relationship at this point, and like they just exist in each other's lives.
Yeah.
And like she maybe comes in for advice, or I don't know. I mean, it seems like she's embarrassed about everyone knowing that she's married and had sex with him at least once to produce like offspring. So maybe she's like, I'll do it for a little while, but now we're like more platonic.
I'm just in shock over her like Ellen DeGeneres-esque real estate portfolio.
Yeah, that shocked me as well.
Like, these are homes, too. They're not like, it's not like a town. Like, she has, it's not like a timeshare. Like, she has mansions.
Yeah. And, like, the biggest, like, I also didn't really realize how huge her Salt Lake house was until kind of Whitney was standing at the front door. And then I just saw, like, the proportions of the doors in comparison to like Whitney's body. And I was just like, wow, this is a massive mansion.
Massive. Mary's just raking it in. She tells her husband, they have like another like plot accelerant conversation where she complains about not being invited to. I was like, how did she find out so fast? Which is like funny. But she's like, yeah, Jen did not invite me to Sharif's party. And her husband's like, oh, well, they're just jealous of you and like all this stuff. And Mary starts to cry.
He goes, jealousy is a cruel mistress. And Mary says she feels like all the girls took Jen's side over her side. And she feels ganged up on and left out.
Well,
and I'm like, honey, when you marry your grandpa, it's going to be like that. But you should really lobby for your own show.
Yeah. And also not for long.
Someone messaged me that and told me that Mary said recently that she's never seen an episode of the show and she just like doesn't have them. And I wonder if she's told, like, if her church members have watched, or if she tells them not to watch, or if they have like watch parties and they're like, go girl.
Oh, they don't.
Or like,
I don't think they're watching. I don't think Mary, maybe she doesn't even let them watch TV.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think Mary is, like, I love the element of chaos she brings, just on a viewer point, but I am fully convinced that this is a very, like, she and her husband are, like, dark people. Like, that they're, like, evil cult people.
You know what just kind of hit me? In regards to maybe why this show hasn't been hitting as hard, is that premiering during like a pandemic where you can't go anywhere or like venture to a place where any of these women are,
mm-hmm.
I think kind of brings your boner for these shows down a little bit. Because like I was just thinking, I would love to go to Mary's church and just check it out and see what's up. And like probably people, if we were in just normal times, people would be like going to Mary's church.
I'm sure they're still going.
But like tourists and stuff would be Like I would want to go to Salt Lake and like go to Sundance, go to a Lisa Barlow event, and then like have like a Sunday service at Mary's church and have like a Ralsic weekend.
Wait.
But you can't do that. So it's just like, what? Like, what am I watching? Also, the show's from 2 years ago. So again, what am I watching?
Wait, not to repeat a rumor, but I was reading, there was like a crazy internet rumor that Jeffree Star and Kanye were fucking.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Have you seen Jeffree Star? I mean, honey.
I mean,
he is the anti-boner for me, and I think for a lot of people.
But he definitely played to it on his Instagram.
Of course, he did.
Sunday. Anyway, that was just like a wild.
Did you see that on like Dumois or whatever?
I unfollowed Dumois because I didn't want to hear any more about like Lucian's or places in New York that all these people are like, it's always like so-and-so was spotted at this restaurant. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, give us the goods. Cause they were saying, or someone had, it was rumored that like Kim was dating Van Jones, but then they said, no, that wasn't true.
What?
I'm just excited to see who they date next. I would love Kanye to have a gay moment or like a bisexual moment. I do not, like, I don't think that he would date Jeffree Star.
No.
I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Well, there was always that.
Because Jeffree moved to Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. There was always that speculation that him and Ricardo Tisci were fucking.
Mm-hmm. Which love.
So hot.
Here for it.
I could almost see Kim trying to get it somehow, like, finagle away into, like, a politics realm.
Mm-hmm. Like Cory Booker.
Something
like that.
But
he's with someone.
Rosario Dawson.
Are they still together?
I think so.
Love that.
Yeah,
anyway. Like, who can they even date next? Like,
I almost think Kim, like, almost maybe is past the, like, she doesn't need to be with anyone. She just has, like, her family and, like, her kids and, like, Jonathan Chabon. And I think that's honestly, like, enough for her. I think when you have a family that big and tight, you, like, your need for partnership probably isn't as, like, high in a way. Or, like, because you have, like, companions.
True.
They're so insular, that family. Like, they're so... I'm saying just like she just has her sisters and Rob and her mom and like, you know.
But that family is also so relationship based. Like, I feel like
that's true.
There's never just like a single, I guess. Kylie's like
Kendall.
I think Kendall's a lesbian on the low.
I do too, but she won't ever admit that.
Yeah, but she's constantly dating, like, NBA player. Like, everyone's always in a relationship in that family.
It's true.
But it's also, like, when you're Kim Kardashian, at this point, who can you even date that, like, matches your vibe? Like, Kanye and her, that's why they seemed like such a perfect match. It's because they had, like, similar interests, similar levels of fame, and, like, could build, like, an empire together. And could help each other, like, enhance each other's lives in that way. And I can't think of anyone that would, like, be able to do that for her now.
Yeah, they benefited each other a lot.
They did. She, I think, benefited him.
Well, she, I think when he was going, when he's had his moments of, you know, kind of terrible,
like stuff. Mental health crises.
Well, just some of the rhetoric and the things he was saying where people were kind of horrified. I think she always, in recent times, kind of at least attempted to buffer that a little and soften the blow a little by saying, like, I stick by him, or, you know, he's going through stuff. But yeah, that last, everything that was happening, whatever. I don't even give a shit about that. Whatever. I wish them well. What? No, I'm just like, every time I start talking about, like, I can't, the Kardashians, just like, I'm so beyond that. Like, I'm not even like hating on them. I'm like, I don't know. It's a development for me because I've always been fascinated by them. But I'm now at a point where I'm kind of like, But I'm also at a point where, like, a few months ago, people were mad at them for going to Lake Tahoe. And I was like, what do you think rich people are going to do? Like, rich, famous people are going to do? They're going to go, they're going to leave the cities. Like, this, why are we surprised that they're in Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, the only reason you're mad about it is because you know about it. Literally any other person of means has left whatever city and has traveled on vacation.
I'm always going to root for Kim in some way.
I root for her. I just think it's like, where do you, how do you, like,
yeah, no, you're right. Date? Like, she's kind of a supernova. It's like, who's going to match her? And just, she has almost like a cartoonish level of stardom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do you find someone that has that same kind of caricature almost?
Totally. And I think when you're a woman at that level, like, it's almost harder to find someone that either matches you or, I mean, who's like, there's no one like above her level at this point. So it's either you're finding someone that kind of matches you or is like below your level, and then you have to navigate their potential jealousy or them feeling threatened by you and your success. Like, it's a really difficult place to like find yourself in and then like be able to have a relationship. Whereas when you're like a man, it just is not the same.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Anyways.
It's Valentine's Day at Heather's house.
Yeah. Okay. Can I be real?
Yeah, be real.
I think, is Heather's husband like on meth?
Something's off with him. Maybe he's ill.
His face is like kind of like, he looks like someone that is on meth.
Maybe he's been spending too much time in his hot tub.
Yeah, he's an odd man.
They both look so different from when their wedding photos were.
Heather turned out the best of that duo. Like, she's...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's either you're the crypt keeper, Billy, or you're like fabulous Heather with access to like injectable. I love just like building your own lab where you can go like get your face worked on.
I love her.
And write it all off as a business expense. That's smart.
I continue to just love Heather.
Yeah, love Heather. I also loved the revelation that Scary Movie 3 broke their relationship.
I know. Okay, so Heather's having a Galentine's Day brunch with her three daughters, and her husband, Billy, comes in, her ex-husband, and he brings gifts for the girls. He brings, you know, some stuff for her. It's actually cute. Like, he comes over.
It was cute, but his energy was like
strange.
A rain cloud over the like otherwise fun, flirty Galentine's feminine energy.
Yeah, this is a place of like female power in this house, and he comes in and like kind of brings it down.
Yeah. And I was appreciating their like attempt at conscious uncoupling, but it also felt awkward. But if the girls are happy, then everyone's happy.
You kind of get the sense that neither of them really ever loved each other.
Yeah.
I think there were just like, we were always just kind of friends who like procreated.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she's like, what was there? You know, he was handsome and his family was rich and, you know,
he was a Mormon celeb.
He's a connection to the Howard Hughes fortune made him a Mormon celebrity. So like, what was I to do? And I was like, all right.
Work.
But yeah,
they got married really fast after meeting.
Oh yeah, it was on.
Because you also have to get married if you want to fuck. So that's probably why a lot of like hyper religious people are like, let's fucking do this.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Underwear drawers are like the Wild West of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go. Because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. So they moved in together only to realize that they were like completely incompatible.
They've done like a conscious uncoupling. They're friendly for the kids. He's part of their lives, but doesn't seem like very part of it. Like he seems like all he does is kind of spend time alone and like hang in his hot tub.
I was surprised that he filmed because I felt like his face had been blurred out in previous photos.
Yeah, it was a strange, he's a weird guy. Like, I think he's just a trust fund guy who like doesn't have a job and just hangs.
Weird guy, but would love to see more of him because we need all the weirdo energy we can get on reality TV.
It's true. So yeah, Heather tells an anecdote about they went to on a date. The reason why one time they went on a date, the beginning of the end of their marriage started because of Scary Movie 3, and there was a glory hole moment in the movie, which I remember, and she laughed at it or something, or thought it was funny, and he was like, we're leaving, and he was like, I can't stand for this, and then he withheld sex from her to punish her.
For a week.
And then the nail in the coffin was she couldn't do something for his sister.
Yeah, she wouldn't reschedule the baptism of one of their children, I think, to fit his sister's schedule. So then he said, well, if that's the case, I'm going to move out. And then he moved out. So it just seems like two people that were like a terrible match to begin with.
But like that is unhinged.
The whole thing is unhinged. But I'm glad that they got their beautiful daughters out of it. And yes. Like, seemingly, I guess they still get along. And it must be nice to, I mean, for as much trauma as Heather's had to undergo with like getting divorced and being like a pariah in her community, it's also kind of lol when I guess you get divorced from like a Mormon man because you're like, have fun. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't drink coffee, you can't fuck. So I guess you'll just sit in your hot tub and waste away until you find like a wife. You're gonna have to go through the same thing all over again to like get some woman, and you look like a Skeletor. You look like the 12-foot tall Halloween skeleton. So like best of luck to you. I'm going to be riding dick into the sunset.
Riding dick and riding wolves.
Yeah. Me and my wolf pack, we gather, we ride dicks.
Oh! So yeah, they have like, he like gets some shit on the floor. He like comes in, like typical man, gets the house dirty and then leaves. And then Heather's like, you know, she goes, it's nice that I have a good relationship with my ex-husband for my kids. But at the end of the day, I'm still a divorcee, ostracized by my community and totally alone. And I was like,
damn.
Fuck.
But also, not so damn. You have the show, like, you're getting money and fame, and like, you have the beauty lab.
Also, so, your like, husband is giving you, your husband is a billionaire. So you're getting like so much money in return.
Yeah, you're getting the child support. Like, I'm sure you got like a, hopefully you got a fair shake in the divorce, and like, everything's going to be okay. I believe in Heather's ability to find love, even if she doesn't believe in it for herself.
Yeah.
Based on literally nothing, but I still believe that someday you and me can find ourselves in love again. Whitney goes over to Mary's house for an unhinged girls gathering.
We see Mary. Whitney rings the door. We see Mary getting ready for, I guess, is she snacking? She just takes three chicken nuggets out of a Tupperware, and you hear her go, okay, three. And yes, three. And then she takes a bite. And I was like, is this for her or for Whitney or what's going on?
She does not have very good hostessing abilities, but I related to her in that aspect. Because like, when she awkwardly answered the door and was like, hi, oh my God, hi, come in, and like was weird. I feel like I've been like that to people sometimes, where I'm just like a true Mary and like inviting like someone that I kind of know, but like not that well over. And I had a lot of like seeing myself in Mary in that moment. But then I immediately didn't see myself in Mary when she told Whitney that she needed to put protective booties over her shoes.
Yeah. She goes, I don't know what you're dragging in the house. So I wrote, Mary was ready for COVID.
Mary has been COVID ready from the jump for years. Also, she goes, I don't know what you stepped in. You could have hurled and stepped right in it. Like, as though people are just like vomiting and then walking through their own vomit.
I just love seeing Whitney like scooting around in her little booties.
Mm-hmm.
Mary brings Whitney into her palatial, like, extremely disordered walk-in closet. That's just a room.
Also, that's her bedroom.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's her bedroom, which I believe is like a glimpse into her brain. Like, it's a facsimile of what's going on internally.
I think the clothes surrounding her bed is sort of like her protection.
Mm-hmm.
I think she feels safe with all her clothes. Mary calls her a hoarder, or Whitney calls her a hoarder.
A high-end hoarder. Mary sits down in like a throne, and she just launches into a monologue, and she goes, I love fashion. These Balmain pants, and these Gucci boots, and this shirt I bought in Milano. And I was just like, yes.
And then she just squeezes herself and goes, oh, I just love clothes.
I want Vogue to do some sort of like video collaboration with Mary, where they like, I want to just watch her talking about the history of all the clothes that she has and telling us like where each garment is from, where she got it, what she was feeling when she bought it. Like, I want like Mary's shopping rundown.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, when I worked at Paper Magazine, they did like a high end fashion shoot with Teresa and Melissa.
Yeah, it was chic.
Shot by some famous photographer, I forgot. Like, it was really cool. Like, that stuff is really cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Because she loves, she loves fashion. She's a label whore, so like, I want to hear
her outfit in this scene is outrageous. This red frock
was out of control. Imagine having someone over to your house dressed like that. God love her.
Whitney just kind of has this like curious look on her face when as Mary speaks. Like, Whitney's almost like mesmerized by her, because they sort of have the Jacqueline Danielle dynamic from season one, where Jacqueline was like kind of titillated by Danielle and her like swirl of chaos in her life. And I mean, I think Mary's less desperate than Danielle because Mary has so much. But I think Jacqueline felt kind of bad when she was with Danielle and felt kind of like, ooh, like a little glimpse into, like, you know, this kind of chaotic world that I, like, love a little. You know what I mean? And I think she's...
Totally.
She's kind of... As Jacqueline was turned on by Danielle, I think Whitney's, like, fascinated and, like, enthralled by Mary's complicated persona.
Absolutely. And also, it gives Whitney a chance to have, like, more camera time. So she's just like, sure, I'll go to Mary's house, talk to her crazy ass, wear those boots over my shoes, and ask her some questions and tell her that everyone's talking shit about her behind her back.
Mary's like, no one has my back. I'm alone.
Oh, wait. No, Whitney didn't tell her that. Yeah, Mary was like, everyone turned on me, and now Meredith and Lisa call me to and say they're afraid of me, or they're afraid of Jen.
They're afraid of Jen. And Whitney's like, that's interesting. She's going to put that in her back pocket. I could just see Whitney, like, driving home being like, I can use this to herself.
What will I do next? Who will I call next? What is my FaceTime next?
Yeah, that's just all she's thinking. What will I do next?
What is my next move? Is she AI or a real person?
She's real, but, like, something's... There's a screw loose.
Has she been microchipped?
She might have been.
She's real, but microchipped, and AI has taken over. Something is, like, amiss. Something's like not TikTok adding up.
That came out last year where the girl's like, my husband's getting me chipped today, guys.
She's, like, one of the first people. Like, she's getting, like, the test chip that Elon Musk has developed, and it's already been installed, and it's a test run to see how it goes.
Then we cut over to the Mark's house, and... I don't even want to talk about this. Brooks, Seth, by the way, is so handsome.
Seth's hot. Yeah. I just love his Meredith, eyes. If you're done with him, I'll take him.
I also love this. I loved it a little because it's Meredith, Seth, and Brooks. They're trying to figure out what they want for dinner. Seth and Meredith are just, like, so horny for each other and, like, hot for each other, at least playing the part. Maybe it's not actually, but. I think
Seth is horny for Meredith, and Meredith's not that horny for Seth.
Yeah, you're right.
But I liked seeing Seth get horny.
Seth is kind of like gobs. I feel like he just stares at Meredith, and Seth is like head over heels for her.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith is kind of like, Meredith's drunk in this scene, by the way.
Is she?
She seemed a little wine sloshed, which I liked.
I like when he goes, oh, are you wearing your wedding ring? And she goes, and this huge sparkling rock.
And he goes, do you remember what you said when I gave it to you? And she goes, probably I do. And Brooks keeps going, oh, can you guys not do this while I'm here? Like, he's just so...
Shut the fuck up, Brooks.
I wrote Brooks is jealous of Seth.
Yeah.
Because he likes to
he
get
wants
all
what
his...
Seth has, which is full access to his mother.
He just wants attention from her at all times.
Yeah, it's very Oedipal.
Mm-hmm. Not like, I don't think, it's, I mean, Brooks is obviously gay as the day is long, but I think he just
no,
wants...
No, but I think you can still have, like, an Oedipus complex and be a gay man. Like, not That's like you want to fuck your mom, but you want to be the closest one to her.
Exactly.
You want her undivided attention and to control her life like a husband would.
Can you guys do this in your bedroom? I'm standing here. He keeps, and they're kind of, no, they're not really paying attention to him.
Yeah. They've learned how to tune him out. They like adjust the frequency of their brain, and then Brooks just goes radio silent. And all he's good for is calling and arranging the takeout, which looked delicious, by the way.
Oh my God. I want it.
I was like, I want that. I want what they have.
Short rib sushi?
Yeah, just give me everything. I want it all. Whatever soup you guys are having, like, lay it all out. I want it all ASAP.
Also, whenever they cut to a new scene, I just love when there's no music and you just hear the wind of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cold. It's
powerful.
Whitney's just making her rounds. She goes to her friend Sarah, who's a QAnon.
And who will I go to next? Maybe Sarah, I will go over to Sarah's house.
Sarah's the one from the first episode who came in going, "Happy birthday to you." Sarah's wild. Sarah is also an ex-Mormon. She lives in like a very kind of desolate looking home in the middle of a field, across the field from a temple, a Mormon temple.
I love looking out your window just to behold a huge Mormon temple.
They walk over to the sink and she's like, "Would you like water?" And Whitney's like, "Yeah, I'll have water." And then Whitney goes, "Oh no, my heel just punctured a hole in your floor mat." And Sarah goes, "This is the mat I bought for my maids to feel comfortable while they do dishes."
Minnie goes, "Oh, well, that's too bad because my stiletto punched a hole in it." And then she's like, "Sarah gets me. She's on her third marriage."
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
They're the same age. They're high school friends. So Whitney's what, 33? She's on her third marriage.
Some people just be getting married and divorced and married and divorced and then married again.
That's like three marriages in the span of a decade.
Busy. Whitney goes, "So how have you been?" And Sarah goes, "I don't know. Life, right?" And that's my favorite conversation I've ever heard.
I'm like, she's Elizabeth Taylor level of like marriages by the age of 30.
Yeah, I'm into it. May she be blessed with many more divorces and many more marriages.
She needs to be a housewife.
She's a classic, like, she gives me the vibe of just as many marriages as humanly possible.
The eternal marriage, aka multiple marriages forever.
The marriage cycle. A never-ending carousel of marriages.
But yeah, I do think it was confirmed that she's in queue.
Love it. Was she storming the Capitol?
She's probably supported it.
I want to know. Yeah, like I'm ready for like an update on all these women to see like what they're up to and what they're doing now.
I know. I know Heather stands for like Black Lives Matter and LGBT rights. So she's on the right side of history, but who knows about the others. We find out that Whitney's in-laws kept the photo of Justin and his ex-wife on display for like the first 8 years of their marriage.
Yeah, Whitney and it's Justin's still marriage, up there
along with the ex-wife's new husband and her and their wedding photos.
So they have a triptych of all the weddings. That's a great troll.
You can just tell that Whitney's been, she's been through the ringer.
Hopefully they'll film with her sometime.
Lisa takes her boys to the aquarium with her husband, and it's kind of a weird, like they just walk in, she goes, "Look how amazing." And she goes, "Wow, could you imagine being in the ocean and then seeing that swimming above you?" And they look up and see a big fake shark. And she goes, "What would you call that shark?" And he goes, "Fresh wolf."
She goes, "Look at that turtle. You love that.
You love that turtle."
And she goes, "You're so fun. I love spending time with you guys."
And they're looking at blowfish at one point, and she goes, "Look at that." And her youngest son goes, "They make blowfish at Area 51. And I was like,
"Glowfish."
Glowfish. I was like,
or whatever they are. Yeah. Like neon fish. I was loving his conspiracy theory. Lisa, galaxy her, brain
her face when he said it, she was like, okay,
she does not believe in aliens.
Then they go and feed penguins, which is kind of cute. Lisa just keeps going, "Oh my god, they're amazing. I love them. They're so cute."
"I've never touched a fish before. I've never held a fish. Oh my god, this one's aggressive. Ah, oh, they're so cute. I love them."
I love these birds. Do you love the penguins? Does everyone love, like, she's just so, it's so strange. And then we find
out
her husband and sons are creating a line of, like, men's grooming stuff or, like, men's scents.
Is her husband in on it? I thought it was just her sons.
I think he's, like, facilitating it, but it's called Fresh Wolf. And she's like, it's amazing. And when we get our minds on something, my family always accomplishes it.
When my sons came to me wanting to start a range of hair care and products, I said, yes, we will do this. I love that her whole family just means business.
Yeah.
Also, like, the last thing anyone needs is a range of hair care products for men, like skincare and hair care products for men called Fresh Wolf.
Mm.
I just don't feel like strange. That is going to make like a big,
no.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a slam dunk because I can think of like a million other brands, but go off.
Wow. I love this bird.
Look wow. at that turtle. You love that.
You love turtles. We love turtles.
Oh, amazing. That is amazing. That bird is amazing.
That was me.
I love
Simon,
it.
When Simon and I went to the Long Beach Aquarium like 3 years ago, and he had just gotten his wisdom teeth out, so he was like in a haze.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I was going, I was just like, wow, look, because I was trying to make it really fun. Look at that. Simon was like, we need to go.
That's literally also me. I went like a year or so ago to the Monterey Aquarium, and I was like, wow, oh my god, an octopus, that is amazing. I love it. Look at it, it's in the corner. You love that. Everyone loves that.
Everyone loves that. So then we cut to the big night. Jen's getting all done up by her team Shaw.
She wants to be shabulous. She wants to be shawlicious.
Her husband has no idea what's going on. They get dressed up. She tells him to wear like kind of golf attire, and she's wearing
a fur and boots. I think mm-hmm. she's waiting to like reveal the full look when she yeah. gets to the party.
They're on their way, and she's like, so we have dinner reservations, like you know, where do you think you're going? Like, she's giving him directions, and he's like, well, there's a Popeyes out there. He's like, I mean, I'd be happy with that. And I was like, me too.
Yeah, it sounded yummy. I was like, I want a shrimp po' boy from Popeyes.
Yeah. And then she's like, we're actually going to go golfing. And he goes, oh, great, golfing. Great, that's so fun.
I think it's always a mistake to have a surprise party for someone that does not like surprise parties.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never going to end well or go the way you really want it to.
Well, it's certainly not, because we cut to the party and Stu's going around calling himself Stu Chain. So we already know he's already like blackout.
Stu's on one. Yeah, he's one to watch. He might need to go join Diane Warren in the sober living after everything's said and done.
Oh, great. Golfing. Oh, that's fun.
Fun. Those big baby golf tower things. I've never been to one, but this made me want to go.
There's one by Century Spa in Koreatown.
Yeah. There's one that just opened. I'm sure it's that exact same chain of them in Oklahoma. That's like now like a big attraction in Oklahoma City.
It's fun seeing them at night.
Yeah, they're pretty. I would want to go at nighttime.
So she's like, we're going to go golfing. He still doesn't know it's a surprise, or maybe he does, but he's pretending not. I think he may know.
Yeah, but if your wife comes down, she's dressed to the nines like that, and you're just going golfing, then you know you're not just going golfing.
So then they walk in, and it's like it's sweet. It's like his old players are there that he coached. People from the NFL are there. Coaches' spouses are there. Maybe coaches who have died. So it's like a very, like, this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute.
Yeah, it was sweet. And
he's so
seemed
sweet
genuinely
with his sons. He's so like affectionate with them. I like when, like, it's nice to see that.
I love Sharif.
I really like Sharif. That was sad for him with how it ended.
Yeah, I love Sharif and like chill Jen. I hope that it's all just like played up for the cameras, like whatever anger they have, or that she has, whatever anger she has. But then also, I mean, we'll get to it, but someone, Meredith, makes a comment about like their relationship that I was like, hmm. But Whitney immediately starts like chugging alcohol, and then she establishes that she's the Kyle Richards of the group because she takes the dance floor when Sharif and Jen like have a dance off, and Whitney completely takes over the dance floor to do splits, handstands, falls like backwards on some people, like is just like humping the floor and like twerking.
Whitney, Lisa says that Whitney needs a lot of attention.
She goes, Whitney seems like she needs a lot of attention. And I'm like, get off the floor. Get off the floor is my advice to most people.
Lisa's Mormon like zeal is scary when she turns her eye of Sauron on Whitney.
Mm-hmm. Get off the floor.
Well, also at one point before this, Jen's like, I really hope Sharif likes the party, because if he doesn't, I'm gonna have to leave him and start dating other people. And the person was remaking a dig at Meredith, and she goes,
no comment.
No comment.
Ooh, shots fired. While Whitney is doing her exhibitionist dances, it cuts to Justin, who's just like solo golfing.
Yeah, I like that.
He's like, ooh, a chance to practice my swing.
Whitney's getting blackout, and Whitney and Heather start talking, and basically Whitney's like, I really think Jen needs to know that Mary said that Lisa and Meredith are talking shit about her. And Heather's like, Heather's a little lit too, and she's like, all right, well, maybe we should tell her about it together. So
Whitney strolls up to Jen, which is also like, this is the worst possible time that you could say anything to anyone. Like, you don't go confront the woman who's like throwing the party, who's also a known hothead, that like, and you don't like tell her some bad shit that's going on.
Well, she also says that later. She's like, this is not the right time to be telling me this.
Yeah, like, it's a terrible timing. And I just felt like, I mean, they did what had to be done, and I love that. But at the same time, I'm like, damn, Whitney like really doesn't give a fuck. And
She makes it worse, because when she goes to actually confront Jen, she just kind of rambles for like minutes.
She's too drunk to actually do what needs to be done.
So we're friends. We trust each other. And Heather's just like, Jesus Christ. Just tell
when
her.
And he goes, you know, I'm a straight shooter, right?
She kind of reminded me of Portia from Search Party.
Oh, yeah. She's totally Portia. It was very... She starts her monologue, and then, like, she's like, you know, I'm a straight shooter, right? I stand up for what's right and what's wrong. So I was surprised to hear, and then someone interrupts, like, is like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? And Whitney's like, no. I gotta start over. So you know I'm standing up for what's wrong and right. So I was really surprised to hear that Meredith and Lisa are saying they're afraid of you. And like,
according
it's like, girl,
to
what
Mary.
The fuck are you talking about?
And then Jen kind of says what you just said.
Yeah.
And Jen's kind of like, immediately is like, don't be telling me this! Jen goes from zero to She-Hulk in like a millisecond.
I wrote,
what do you mean?
Fully hulked out. Like, and it didn't even take much.
We see Lisa and Meredith going, uh-oh, what's going on over there? So Meredith's like, something needs to be done, so we should go talk to them.
Lisa goes, what's going on? Are they yelling? And Meredith goes, we must go talk to them. I love the two of them. Jen is flipping out.
Goes, what do you mean? Why are you telling me that at my own party? Why are you telling me this at my husband's party? Mary's crazy. And then Jen and Lisa and Meredith come over, and they're like, they have to like try to convince Jen that they didn't say these things and that Mary was lying. And Meredith then goes up to Whitney and is like, and Whitney's like, so you're saying Mary is lying? And Meredith's like, well, I don't know, but perhaps.
Lisa takes a very bold approach where she goes, marches straight up to Jen, grabs her by both shoulders, and goes, I am not afraid of you.
Yeah, she goes, I want to talk to you. And then Jen's like, okay. So they they walk off for a second, and then...
And then Whitney starts talking to fucking Meredith and saying that Jen told everyone, like, about Meredith's marriage problems and, like, and then, insinuating that there's something wrong.
And then this is how the convo ends.
I'm done engaging on the conversation.
Meredith's wasted.
I'm done engaging on the conversation.
She kind of sounds like... like a very Kennedy-esque in the way she talks.
It's Jackie
I'm done engaged. Yeah, very Greg, almost E.E. Beale.
Yeah, it's really like, it's a cross between like...
Transatlantic.
Yeah, it's Edie and also Natalie Portman as Jackie O in Jackie.
Yeah.
I'm done engaging on the conversation.
So Meredith is pissed. So now Jen has pissed Meredith off. And Jen is mad at Whitney. It's just, it's a great, and then everyone starts looking.
Yeah, everyone's paying attention. The party has gone haywire. But also, okay, so Whitney, who's her alliance to? Her alliance is just to chaos because she's not.
Well, look, I think she has Heather with her. So she kind of feels like she has built-in security with Heather. Like I think Whitney feels safe. You know when you're like with like your family or like your best friend or something and you feel like you can kind of, you're like safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Whitney has that like, okay, I have Heather here, so I'm like extra emboldened. That was my take.
But like so I can stir the pot on both sides, because like, yeah. Why would you go up to Jen, say that they're talking shit about you, then as soon as she leaves you're like, actually she said this horrible shit about you.
Yeah, I think she just feels like she'll always have someone.
Yeah, I think she's also just like complete shit faced and also is not owning that part of it. Like she's like,
no,
I'm stammering because I'm so scared of how Jen will react and I'm intimidated. It's like, you literally double chugged rum and coke and white wine. Like, you've lost your all wherewithal.
Yeah, you're in a blackout.
You've poisoned yourself, m'lady.
And then things start escalating and Mary gets brought up again. And then Jen goes, I don't want to hear about Mary. She takes her highball glass of vodka soda with a lime in it, and she just chucks it
across the room.
Ah! She's wearing her Beyonce outfit, and she literally looks like a superhero. Like, she just goes, ah! And it smashes, and everyone's... And let me tell you, I actually gasped. I went, because I was so hard. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was a bad look.
And then... She runs right up to Sharif and she goes, we're going! We need to leave! And he's like, wait, I'm this is my party. And she and her sons
she's
are like
what happened? What's wrong? And she's like, we're out of here!
And her sons start complaining or she starts complaining to her sons. And it's just like, they start, her one son, Omar, escorts her out. And they get in the car and he's going, Mom! But on her way up, she walks by a bunch of balloons and she goes, God damn it! Just starts punching all of them.
I'm honestly, like, here for the rage. It's refreshing to see someone just get so fucking angry. Like, that's how I feel a lot of the time. Or, like, just thinking, like, things will enrage me. But I feel like I personally just have to, like, shove a bunch of rage down to, like, get through the day. Like, I would love to just, like, Hulk the fuck out over like a tiny thing. Like, imagine what a release that would be. I know it's not a productive thing for her and her family specifically, and like it seems to be a recurring problem that Jen has to deal with, but like I admire someone that can just fucking unleash the hounds.
Yeah, no, she's truly like Hulk transforming. Like she was like in the stages of just becoming like,
it didn't take
damn
much.
It.
God no. Damn it! And like punching those.
And then he gets in the car. It's very Omar was very Kim G in this moment, going, "Calm down, Danielle, calm down. He's like, Mom, calm down. And she goes, I gotta get out of here. And then Sharif is back and he goes, and his other son's like, Dad, what just happened? She goes, I don't know. Your mom gets all drunk and starts causing shit. So like that, I was like, oof.
Yeah. I mean, also it is way easier to Hulk if you are drunk.
Or like, is she on like Adderall? Like, what's the deal? Like,
it might be a combination of drinking and knowing that you kind of have to play it up for the cameras.
She probably has
like a rage problem.
I felt really sad for Sharif because I think he was actually like having a great night. And I think it's like every event, Jen has to leave early because she has a rage attack.
Someone says one thing to her.
Damn it!
I don't want to talk about Mary. I'm dying. Oh!
She just throws like I throw a baseball.
Like just launching it away from herself. I just can't. Like, a goal of mine when COVID is over is to have a party and get so mad that I leave early. Just like raging.
Wow.
I admire the rage.
You just see the car, the red light, tail lights of the car driving off into the pitch black night. You just hear Jen going, "Ah!" Oh! God, damn it!
She's also like really mad, I think.
No, she was furious and completely blackout.
God damn it!
I literally went
the shift from being like, what's going on? Like, tell me what's up. Like, and then Whitney being, you know, I'm a straight shooter, right? And I stand for what's wrong and what's right. So I was really surprised to hear that. What? Why are you telling me this at my party?
Why are you telling me this?
What's going on? Are they yelling? Terrence and Philip are Meredith and Lisa.
They are.
I'm done engaging Donkey on fucking this conversation.
Just your fucking face, Uncle Fucker.
The last 10 minutes of this episode were art. The more I think about it, the more I'm like getting keyed up and just like into a crazed cry laugh.
I'm done participating on this conversation.
I want someone to do ASMR to this whole, like,
I want Danny unraveling. Pellegrino.
Yeah, Danny Pellegrino. This is our clarion call to you.
Or
do what needs to be done.
I love those.
I've had enough of you.
Or T. Kyle doing one of those. Just, like, one of those Bravo geniuses.
Either or, like, please do it. I also just want to, like, perform. This is like a one-woman show. Me as all the different characters. So I was really surprised to hear that.
So I was really surprised to hear that I stand for what's wrong and right.
You know, I stand up for what's wrong and right. So I was really surprised to hear.
Fuck!
What? What? Why are you doing this? Mary! I don't want to talk about Mary! God damn it!
Oh my God.
What's going on? Are they yelling?
Are they yelling? Next week's going to be good. We see Sharif and Jen talk and she reveals how angry she is at him.
I'm here for Jen uncovering the roots of her rage.
Yeah, we're watching it unfold.
Like, let's do this. I'm down. I want Whitney to continue drinking heavily and stirring the pot
Like, I'm all in now.
Yeah.
This episode radicalized me.
We have a whole rest of the season to go. And I think it's taking a turn for the better, and I'm hopeful.
Things are looking up. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to jinx it.
Listen, let's look out for our bonus episode coming this Saturday. You can subscribe to Patreon.
Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And
everyone stay safe.
Stay safe. Don't insurrect.
Don't insurrect.
And now I'm done engaging on the conversation.
You can follow Lars Marie at Lars Marie for more conversation.
Yeah, follow Carrie too at eCarrieO.
We'll
see you next time.
Week. I love that.
I love that. Look at that turtle. You love that. Bye.